We continue our learning. We're in Adios Parakei, Mishnah Beis. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shisha Devarim, Mikule Beis Shammai, Umechumre Beis Hillel. So we add on. There are six areas of halacha where Beis Shammai is lenient, Beis Hillel is strict. Number one, Ha'of Ola Im Hagvino Al HaShulchan Ve'eno Nechol Kedivei Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai holds, when it comes to milk and meat, so the pasuk says we know those where midoraisa we're not permitted to cook to get benefit or to eat milk and meat together, but should be no problem with having milk and meat at the same table. Nonetheless, we are strict not to have milk and meat at the same table because we're afraid we may end up eating it where it has been cooked together. What about basar oaf? What about poultry? So poultry is not levasel gedi. Gedi is meat, is not chicken. So when it comes to chicken, chicken mixed together, cooked together with milk is only midrabanan anyway. So do we have to be strict that we shouldn't have poultry and milk at the same, dairy at the same table? So here Beis Shammai says there's not a problem. Ha'of olem agvin al ha'shulchan. You can have chicken with cheese at the same table, as long as ve'no ne'achal, as long as, of course, you're not eating them together at the same time. Kedivrei Beis Shammai. It's true I can't eat them together, but I don't have to be concerned when they're both at the table together, because even if I eat them together where they had been cooked together, it's only derabanan. Ve'sil omrim, as we follow, eino ola ve'eino nechal. You can't do either. Of course, you can't have chicken and milk together, but you also shouldn't even have them at the same table together. What are we afraid of? Well, it may gezeir. If I can't eat them together, so then that all part of that gezeir of not eating them together was because you may mix it up with other, with real meat, so I shouldn't have them at the table together either. Halacha number two. Tormin zeisim al shemen va'anavim al yayin kidivei Beis Shammai. Shammai is lenient with respect to the laws of separating truma. If you have olives and olive oil, or grapes and wine, so Beis Shammai says there's no problem to take truma from, let's say, zeisim, from olives, which will cover truma that you need to separate from shemen, from olive oil. Or if I have wine, and the wine needs to have truma separated, if I separate it from grapes, that can cover the wine, even though one is gum or one is really at the end stage of preparation of its process, and one is not. Beis Shammai says that's acceptable because it's the same species. Ain tarmin, no, you're not permitted to do so. You want to take truma, it has to be olives on olives, or oil, or olive oil on oil, olive oil. Same thing, grapes on grapes, or wine on wine. Based on the pasuk in Parshas Korach, where we learn about the laws of truma, it says, "V'nechshav lachem truma aschem kadagon min hagorin." It has to be like grain from the granary. Just like when it comes to the granary, means where you're separating the truma min hagorin, min hagomer al hagomer, that which has reached gemar malach of the end stage. That's what I have to separate. I can't separate from something eino gomor on something that is gomor. There happens to be in Maseches Trumos, we have this mishnah as well in Perek Aleph Mishnah Dalad. There, the Gemara assumes that the whole machlokas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only b'dieved. But lechatchila, but Beis Shammai agrees lechatchila that we should not do this. It's only that it's effective b'dieved. Halacha number three: Hazorea arba amos shebekerem. Person who plants, who wants to plant something, wheat, barley, next to a vineyard, which is a potential problem of kilayim. So the halacha is he has to distance that which he plants, the wheat, the barley, 4 amos from the kerem. That's what we call the shiur, the measure, the amount of avodas hakerem. Now there's enough space for a person to take care of the plant, whatever he needs to do in the vineyard. So you need that space between the vineyard, between the grapes, and that which you're planting to avoid the problem of kilayim. What happens if you didn't give that distance and you planted your other species, your wheat, your barley, whatever it is, within 4 amos next to the vineyard? Beis Shammai omrim kidesh shura achas. We assume that now the grain, the barley, the wheat, whatever it is kadosh based on the pasuk pen tikdash hamleya. It's holy, means that it's now prohibited bahana because of the isra of kilayim. How much though has been affected by the fact that it's right in close proximity to the vineyard? So Beis Shammai says 1 shura. One line based on the pasuk, lo tizra karmecha kilayim pentikdash hamaleya hazer asher tizra utvuas hakarem. So it means that the tivua, the produce of the kerem, of the vineyard, becomes kadosh, becomes holy, which means it's asur bahana with these zroim, with the seeds that are planted, and I have to burn them. That's a halacha. But tuvuas hakerem, what's considered the produce of the kerem, is means the first row of the vineyard. Only that is going to be affected, because what affected? Because one row of gefanim of vines is considered a kerem already. I have no reason to apply this prohibition, the asur hana, to any more of the vineyard, rather than the first row that's in proximity, within less than 4 amos, from the other species that was planted. Uvesil omrim, no tivuas hakerem, the produce of a kerem assumes a minimum of 2 shuros. We learned this in Kilayim Perek Dalet Mishnah Hey, and therefore kidei shtei shuros, according to Beis Hillel, was strict, and the two rows of vines that are in closest proximity to the wheat, the barley that was planted, become asur bahana and have to be burnt. Halacha number 4, hameisa. Meisa is like is flour that you put in boiling water. This is the issue of bagels. Are bagels considered a hamotzi or not? So Beishamai protein, Beishamai says they're potter from separating challah. Challah only has to be separated from milechem ha'aretz if it has the status of lechem. Beishamai believes that a flour that you put in boiling hot water, that bread is potter min ha'challah. Anything that's baked, derech bishul, is potter min ha'challah. Although the difference is that there, it's just in boiling hot water. It's not put in the oven afterwards. Words. So that's why it's patur min achala. It's not lechem at all. Vesil mechayven. Vesil says boiling a hot, you put flour in a boiling water, that is considered lechem aretz. That's considered bread and it's chayven chala. We learn that in chala perak aleph mishnah vav. Halacha number 5, madbilin bechardelis kedivei b'yishamai. B'yishamai is lenient and says, if I want to take a kli, let's say a tamei kli, and I want to put it in the kele mikvah. So the kele mikvah, according to b'yishamai, can have flowing water, flowing rainwater, and it's not a problem. Chardelis is a flow, is a torrent of water. Beis Shammai says you're able to be metaher a kli of in megeshamim, in rainwater, even if the rainwater is ochalin, is flowing, is not stationary, is not what we call be'eshborim. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. Ve'sil omrim, which we follow, ain mat bila. No, you're not allowed to use moving water. The water has to be stationary. If you're using mei mayon, spring water, then there's no problem with putting clay or even a kli or even a person in flowing water of a river or a spring, whatever it is. So that's acceptable for mikva, even though it's flowing. But if you're using mei geshem and you're using rainwater, then it has to be be'eshbor, and eshbor means that it's gathered together, it's stationary, and only then do we say that is acceptable. This is the problem with having a crack in a mikvah and having water flowing out could potentially invalidate the mikvah. Next, halacha number 6, and the final one, Gersh and his Gayer Arve Psachim. What happens if you have someone, a non-Jew, who became a ger on Erev Pesach, which means he gave himself, he had a bris milah and went to mikvah l'shem geiris on Erev Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. What's the status of this person, now a Jew, to eat from the Korban Pesach? Beis Shammai Omrim, Tovel va'ochel es pischol erev. He should go to mikvah one more time. That's midrabanon only. He's a Jew already. But in order to eat karbanos, we want him to go to the mikvah one more time. And he can eat his Korban Pesach that evening. He became a ger on the 14th of Nisan during the day, should go to the mikvah one more time, and then that night he can partake of the Korban Pesach the night of the Seder. Uveisil omrim, haporesh min ha'arla, kiforesh min ha'kever. Person who separates himself from arla, from being an arel, one who is uncircumcised, is like he's separating himself from the kever, from the cemetery, from a grave. What does he mean? So we view a ger who now is circumcised as if he separated himself when he was an Orel from as if he touched a dead body. And how long is someone who's tamei be touched a dead body? For 7 days. And you need to be sprinkled with the ashes of the paraduma, mixed with spring water on the 3rd day and the 7th day. And therefore, we would have to do the same thing for a ger. After a ger has a bris milah and goes to mikvah for gerus, he now should be sprinkled with the ashes of the paraduma, according to Beis Hillel, on the 3rd day and the 7th day. That takes a week after his gerus. And therefore, we can't eat from this Korban Pesach that night. You look in the Mishnah, Pesach and Periches, Mishnah Ches. And so because he needs a whole week, he can't, in order to be Metayer himself from being a non-Jew, because since he was an Orel, we view it as if he's separating from a Kever, and he needs a full 7 days with the sprinkle of ashes of the Paraduma on the 3rd and the 7th. And the Gemara in Pesach and Daf Tzadi Beis explains that the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is speaking about only this Arel Goy, who had his bris milah on the 14th of Nisan, as we said, Beisilmeis Gzeira. What's the Gzeira? What do you mean if you separate from Arlitz, like you're separating from the Kever? At the end of the day, he's Jewish, and he should be able to eat from the Karma Pesach right now. You can't eat from the Karma Pesach if you're not Jewish, or if you don't have a bris milah, even if you are Jewish. He's now Jewish, and he has a bris milah. So what's the issue of Paraduma? You need, he's not Tamei Meis, really. So Beis Hillel made a Gzeira. The Gzeira was, maybe he'll become Tamei Meis next year on Erev Pesach, and not having had experience as a Jew what it means to be Tamei Meis, he's going to think to himself, oh, last year, what did I do when I became a Jew on Erev Pesach? Oh, I went to the mikvah, and I ate from the Karma Pesach that night. So I'm going to do the same thing. I'll go to the mikvah now. I became Tamei Meis. Oh, Tamei means I go to the mikvah, I guess. I go to the mikvah and I'll eat from my Karma Pesach. He's not going to know that last year he was a goy until Erev Pesach. A goy is not Mekabel Tumah. There is no Tumas Meis. So even if he touched a dead body last year, Midoraisa, we wouldn't have to worry about it. But now we do, because now he's Jewish. But he's going to think like last year. Last year also, I was Tamei Meis. I went to funerals and no one cared. And I became a Jew on Erev Pesach. I ate from my Karmel Pesach. I guess I could do the same thing this year. But now he's a Jew. He's Mekabel Tumah. He needs a full 7 days in sprinkling the Parah Aduma. Therefore, Basil says, you know what? Even this year, when he becomes a Ger, and he really doesn't need the full Parah Adumah Seraba process, nonetheless, we should be strict and require that, and therefore, if it gets a bris milah and becomes a ger with tvila and bris milah on Erev Pesach, he should not eat from the Karma Pesach that night, and he should go through the process of Parah Adumah, even though he doesn't really need it. Beis Shammai says, no, we don't make a gzera this year because of maybe Tumas Meis may have next year. But let's say you have an Arel Yisrael. This is a Jew who was not circumcised, and why when circumcised, they had, let's say, two brothers who already passed away because of a bris milah, and they refrain from giving a bris milah. But let's say now, for whatever reason, we see he's medically capable of tolerating a bris milah, and now he's having a bris milah on Erev Pesach. So such a person, even Beis Hillel would agree that he has his bris milah on Erev Pesach, he can have his bris milah and eat his Karban Pesach that night. Perek, hey, Mishnah Gimel. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shlosha Devarim, Mikulei Beis Shammai, Mechum Beis Hillel. Three areas of halacha where Beis Shammai is lenient and Beis Hillel is strict. So number one, Koheles Eino Mitames Hayadayim. The manuscript, the Megillah of Koheles, doesn't make your hands tummy. What's this about? So the Gemara Masech HaShabbos discusses this on Daf Yudalid. There's also a whole Masechta we'll learn in Taros called Masech HaYadayim. And the Chachamim made a gzera that Kitzvei HaKodesh, the 24 books of Tanakh, are metame your hands. They have them written in a Megillah form. They are going to be, or Sefer Torah, the metame hands that touch it. The Gemara says, why is that? Gemara Masech HaShabbos says, and after the, why should it be? My hands become tummy because I touched the Megillah Sesta, I touched the Megillah Secha, I touched the Sefer Torah. Why should that be? So the answer is because they would typically hide the manuscripts, the Megillos that they had, in places so that people would understand how kadosh it is, so they would put it where they kept the truma. Now truma typically is bread or other foods that are truma. Truma's kadosh, and Sifrei Torah and Megillus, whatever Sifrei Kodesh, are kadosh. So there you had your truma bread hidden somewhere in the closet, and you had your Sifrei all in the Megillus hidden there in the closet. And what would happen? The mice would come and eat some of the bread of the truma, and while they were there, they would chew some of the Kisvei Kodesh. The manuscripts were getting ruined. So they made a gzera that if you touch a manuscript, your hands become tameh. Well, with that, we'd keep our truma very far away, a kisvei kodesh, very far from a truma. If you touch the Sefer Torah, now you can't touch truma, your hands become tamei, so then you would make sure to keep it far away from the truma, but you have that problem. In fact, the first gzera was that if truma touched the kisvei kodesh, the truma would become tamei. That was the first thing, so that you certainly would keep them away. And then they made another gzera that the hands that touch the sifrei first of gzera was that the sifrei kodesh will be mitamei truma. If truma touches that sifrei kodesh, it becomes tamei. Also, make sure to keep them far apart, and the mice would maybe come and eat the truma, but there wouldn't be any sifrei kodesh there. Then they made the gzera that even your hands which touch the sifrei kodesh will make your hands tameh. And now your hands would potentially make truma tameh, so you'd make sure to keep the kitzvah out is very far away from the truma food. So the question was, what's the status of Koheles? So that is discussed in Maseches Yadayim a little bit as well. Beis Shammai holds Koheles einu metameh se yadayim. Beis Shammai holds the Sefer Koheles is not included as part of his Kitzvei HaKodesh, and therefore it's not metameh your hands. The Gzeir of the Chacham, it doesn't take effect on that because it's not part of Kitzvei HaKodesh. Kidivei Beis Shammai, Uveis Hillel, mimina metameh se yadayim. As we assume, Koheles is included in Sefer Kodesh. The whole question now, Koheles, its status because of doesn't speak about Torah, should we, what message does it have? But at the end, the last pasuk speaks about Yiras Shamayim, you're having Yiras Hashem, so therefore we do include in Kitzvei HaKodesh. That is the opinion of Beis Hillel, and since they're included in Kitzvei HaKodesh, they are metame your hands. Halacha number two, Mechatas She'asu Mitzvason. You have Mechatas, which is the ashes, the paraduma mixed with spring water, and then the mitzvah is over, which means the person whose tamei meis already have, or the kalim that tamei meis already had, the water and the ashes sprinkled upon the person. And now you have some of the leftovers touched a person or touched a kli. So do we have to worry about those things being mitame? Say, why would they be mitame? So the answer is, Beis Shammai says, it is tahor. We assume that it's not a problem. Why would I assume otherwise? Because the water generally is mitame. The pasuk says, the person who's doing the sprinkling, who touches that, the ashes, paraduma, mixed with spring water, he becomes tamei. It becomes tamei if he did the sprinkling. Even if you carry it, you mitame, and you begun to become tamei. But Beis Shammai says that's all before the mitzvah was done. Once the mitzvah is done, so then you're not going to become tamei. Because this is no. Even after the mitzvah was done, they're mitame a person and mitame kalim, just like before the mitzvah was done. And finally, ketzach, fennel, cumin, some type of spice that people will put in lechem. We'll put in bread. So Beis Shammai mitarin, he says that's not mekabel tum, it's not considered ochel. Uveisil mitamin, since people put it in bread or other types of food, it has the status of ochel, and it's mekabel tuma. Vechein lemasa, since the same thing is true, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel don't only argue with respect to tuma when it comes to ketzach, this cumin, but they argue with respect to masros. If you hold it's considered ochel with respect to tuma, like Beis Hillel holds, so therefore you have to separate masros from it. But Beis Shammai says that ketzach does not have the status of food, the same way it's not mekabel tuma, so too you have no obligation to separate masros, tumas, and masros from it.